This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. The coronavirus pandemic has made millions of Americans sick. It's overwhelmed hospitals around the country. More than 75,000 people have died here. And there's grief, social isolation, layoffs. They all have a big impact on mental health. Amelia Aldeo is a clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety. She joined us last night to answer your questions about mental health, and you had so many questions for her that we weren't able to get to all of them, so we asked her to come back again tonight to answer even more. Thank you so much for coming back, Dr. Aldeo.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. Happy to be here.
So before we get to those, I did want to ask a question about the country's mental health overall. Is there some data out there right now that could point us to how this pandemic is affecting people?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It's a little bit too early to be collecting a lot of data. You know, mental health problems actually take a while to surface in the population, but some of the early data, some of the early research that we are looking at actually suggests that, yeah, unfortunately, we are all struggling with higher levels of anxiety and higher levels of stress. So things are definitely getting more difficult in a way for many of us.
Okay. So let's get to some of the specific questions from listeners. And I just want to start with something I just know is a common situation right now. So let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. My name is Sarah, and I live in Los Angeles, California. Recently moved here. I was 5 weeks into a new job, just getting the hang of being in LA, and we suddenly started working from home, and it's caused me to rely a lot more on old friends and family and FaceTime more than I ever thought. And it's been very interesting to be here in a new city and know almost no one.
Well, you know, Dr. Sarah sounds like she's doing okay, but do you have any thoughts for her? I mean, this is a country where people move a lot, and you know, I just have to believe there are lots of people like her who just, you know, moved thinking it was all going to be, you know, dig into the new place, really learn the new place, and all of a sudden you can't go anywhere. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually live in New York City, so that is, you know, one of the main places where people are constantly moving in and out. And, you know, what I would say is two things along those lines. First of all, there are many opportunities, particularly in big cities, for meeting people online through meetups, you know, and other social events. Lots of networking events tend to happen usually that, you know, you can sign up for online and normally you go in person. And a lot of those meetups, a lot of those social events, you know, sometimes they're social, sometimes they're work-related, they're moving online. So what I've been telling my clients actually here in New York is to still participate in those virtual events because many of the people are also local. So when we do go back, and when we can go back to bars and restaurants and hang out in many, you know, physical locations, they can actually begin to connect with those people in their cities. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too is just to look around you and connect with your neighbors to the extent that you can. Again, here in New York, you know, we are constantly running. I don't usually talk to my neighbors. Most of my neighbors don't talk to one another. And now we're starting to talk to each other, right? I mean, obviously far away, wearing a mask. But sometimes, you know, just taking a look around at the people near you is actually the best way to form connections. And we don't do that in general in the fast-paced urban lives that many of us live. And I think this is a good time to sort of slow down and see if you can make friends with people living in your building or people living in your block or people living in your neighborhood.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Here's our next question from a mom in Rhode Island. This is from Joan.
I have a family member, my daughter, who's living in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and she's away from home during the pandemic, and I am concerned about her getting through this very intense experience without family support and with limited emotional support.
So this is kind of the bookend to the other question, isn't it, right? This is kind of mom at the other end of the country wondering how to support. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I think it's just also something that we talked about yesterday. It's, you know, I would encourage everyone who has loved ones who are living far away to spend more time just talking and connecting with them. You know, this crisis is affecting everybody in the entire world, but it's affecting everybody differently. And sort of, you know, what I would say to this mom is talk to your daughter and talk to her time and again and try to get a sense of what is actually her struggle right now. What does she need help with right now? What does she need support with? And how can you help her? Sometimes we just get, you know, I'm a parent too, and sometimes it's very easy to sort of get very frantic and try to solve many problems, but we don't take the time to sort of see what the other person really needs. And, you know, when we are far away and in the distance, this can become even more challenging. So, you know, at a higher level, that's what I would say. At a more tactical level, I don't know, just like spend more time on Zoom, on FaceTime, connecting with each other, talking to each other, and providing her with that sense that there are people, you know, across the world who deeply care about her and who want to be there for her, support her, and see her succeed.
Here's another question. It is also related to how to support a family member at a distance. This is from Nicola, who lives in Washington, D.C., but her mom lives in Nebraska.
My mom owns and runs a dry cleaners in Omaha, and neither her employees nor her customers are wearing masks because it's not required and it's stigmatized. I'm so worried about the lack of social distancing and my mom's potential exposure to the virus every single day. How do I have productive, supportive conversations with my mom to both express my very real and legitimate concerns and still be understanding of the fact that both the governor and the public's response to the virus are so drastically different in Nebraska?
Dr. Aldea, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a very challenging question, and it comes up all the time. It actually even comes up. I was having this conversation today with somebody here in New York whose family members were not actually following a lot of social distancing. And, you know, what I think, to be honest, it's a very, very, very complex situation, you know, having deep emotional pandemic-related conversations with our parents and close family members. So, first of all, I think it's approaching this with a sense of, you know, trying to be as patient as you can. This might not be one conversation. This might be many conversations that you need to have over time. And then the other thing that is important, you know, is to really try to convey again to your parents, to your kids, your family members, why this matters to you. You know, what about this makes you anxious? Why are you so worried about them? And you might not get to change their behavior. You might not get your mom or your dad or your uncle to put on a mask or to social distance. Ultimately, people will make their own choices. But The more that you can actually tell them how it makes you feel, at the very least, if you don't get to change their behavior, at least you get to have a deeper connection with them where you're sort of talking more about the deep issues that bother you, that upset you. And it becomes less of a blaming game, and it becomes less of a who's right and who's wrong, and it becomes less of a politicization.
Got it. Well, thank you so much. Again, there's so many important and powerful questions coming to you and to us. And thank you so much for coming back. That's clinical psychologist Amelia Aldeo. And if you're looking for more mental health tips from Dr. Aldeo, you can follow her on Twitter. Her handle is Dr. Amelia Aldeo. That's A-L-D-A-O. And this is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.